Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Wednesday afternoon, March the 17th. Time to continue our series with Dr. Gene Edward Veith on Reformation Theology, part two of our six-part series today. We'll talk about the presence of God. You can join us with questions or comments. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. Everyone's looking for God. Some people will say, he's not here. He's the absent landlord. He's up in heaven, so we can't find him. We have to wait to enter into his presence after we die, or something like that. So that is the long-distance God. Others say, no, God is within. Look in your heart, you'll see him, you'll hear him, you'll feel him there. And others might say, I know God is present when, and then you can fill in the blank, when I'm really singing that song and feeling it with all my heart, when I'm praying, when I'm in the privacy of my prayer closet, when I'm reading my Bible and I'm really getting it. Is God present among us? Is he distant? Is he inside? Is he outside? Dr. Gene Edward Veith is provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. He's author of the Issues Etc., book of the month for March, The Spirituality of the Cross, The Way of the First Evangelicals. Dr. Veith, welcome back.
Good to be with you again.
Yesterday, you told us some of your story about your circuitous route from mainline Christian liberalism through Eastern mysticism during your early college days, hooking up with kind of a fundamentalist evangelicalism at some point, and your disillusionment with all of these. During each one of these, where did you think you would find the presence of God?
Well, you know, I think I thought that I would come into the presence of God when I die. That's one of the finally be in the presence of God after death. That's what heaven is. Now, I had some sense that God is present where two or three are gathered, and you know, he's present in my heart, and I have faith. But, you know, I think a lot of that was sort of a metaphorical presence he's symbolically present everywhere, and I know he hears me when I pray. But I really don't think I had a sense of kind of the real presence, the real objective presence of God until I became a Lutheran.
What is that objective presence? Why do you speak of it in those terms?
Well, I think a lot of us, and I know for myself, had sort of seen spiritual things and even religious things sort of as in terms of what's going on inside me. What I learned, though, is that God addresses me from outside of myself, that even my salvation is not something I've done or an idea that I had or a disposition of feeling or the will or, you know, anything inside me, that it was one on the cross 2,000 years ago, and that somehow Jesus was bearing my sins, my personal sins, and he was declaring me personally righteous there. And so the cross is not me. That's not something I made up. It's not something that's inside me. It's objective. And when I realized that, that gave me such assurance, because when I look at myself, I'm very unstable in my feelings and my emotions, and it keeps changing and coming and going. But that there's someone outside myself who saves me that I can entrust myself to, and then to know about Him, to read His Word, to get His message of condemnation, you know, in the law, when I read Scripture, the scary parts, and it drives me to repent, and then to read his assurance when I'm ready to and desperate to have to hear the gospel, that's coming outside me. When I go to church, the message and the way the pastor's ministering to me, it's from the outside going in. It's not from the inside going out. And then I learned about the sacraments, tangible, objective in the sense of actual material, you know, water and words and bread and wine, that those are means that Christ Himself is really coming to me. And in the case of Holy Communion, He's really present. But even in Scripture, the idea that the Holy Spirit is really present in that word as I read it or hear it or someone's preaching it to me. And that Christ's body and blood are really there, and they're for me, and I'm really receiving them when I take the Lord's Supper. I mean, that was just a shift kind of from the inside to the outside, and it just changed the way I look at so many things, and it gave me a solidity to my spiritual life that, again, I had never really had before.
You write in your book about how there's that objective historic fact that 2,000 years ago, this man, who is also God, laid down his life at the cross as sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, actually suffered and died, and on the third day he rose again. That is unchangeable history and fact beyond all dispute. So you mentioned the sacraments just a moment ago. Draw the line between point A and point B, between 2,000 years ago, where Jesus took your sins, Ed Veith, and Ed Veith here and now, today, sitting in his office in Virginia, and how what he did then gets to you now.
Yeah, well, I mean, there were a lot of historical events back, you know, 2,000 years ago and throughout history, but I know nothing of most of them, and they don't really have an effect. But this key event of Christ's sacrifice, what the Word, what His Word does, and what His sacraments do, is connect me to that cross. In other words, the message of the cross, I never would have heard about Jesus unless someone told it to me, or unless I read it in Scripture, and that word about the cross comes to me, and I hear it, and I respond to it, and I respond in faith. And what's happening is the Holy Spirit is in that word, creating faith in me when I hear it, but. Again, it's the word that connects me to the cross way back 2,000 years ago. When I was baptized, the Bible clearly says that when you're baptized into His death. We're buried with Jesus, and we rise with Jesus. And so Jesus' death and resurrection happened way back in history. Somehow in baptism, I've been joined to that. The Lord's Supper, on that night, He was betrayed. He took bread and broke it, and this is my body, this is my blood. And so when I receive the bread and the wine of Holy Communion, I'm united with Him. I mean, He's giving me His body on the cross. It's His resurrected body that I'm receiving in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. And again, that's connecting me to His work. in a very real, very personal, very intimate way, but it connects me to him and to what was accomplished for me 2,000 years ago.
It sounds like you're saying that these things, the two you mentioned, actually the three, the word of assurance and forgiveness, baptism, and the Lord's Supper, aren't merely reminders of what Jesus did, as so many Christians think they are. They're more. Talk about that.
Well, they are more. I mean, again, God is the one at work. God is the one who's doing things, and it's God who's bringing me to himself, or rather bringing himself to me at my point of need. And so he really does. That's not just a metaphor or figure of speech. He's really doing things to me, and he's coming at me from the outside. He's working with the means of bread and wine and water and pieces of paper with ink on them and sound waves from the pastor's voice. He's created a physical world, and he's made me physical, and he's put me in a place and time. And so he comes to me in place and time using physical means. But the message of it is all the same. It's all the gospel. It's all the saving work of Christ, which I receive from outside myself, but in which God is active and bringing me to that knowledge of Him, bringing me to that dependence on Him, bringing me to that faith in Him.
When we come back, Christians like to talk about the presence of God, sing about it, pray about it, all of those kinds of things, and yet, if we stop and think about it, God's presence among us is not necessarily good news. I want you to think briefly about the presence of God among his people in the Old Testament. Often it was with wrath, with great fear. So how can we be assured that God, who is present with us here and now, through these means, the old Reformation theologians would have called them means of grace, that is, the means by which the grace that Christ one for us is brought to us. How is God's presence among us now, for us rather than against us? Stay tuned.
The beggar shout to the lepers called him. The old man said nothing, he just said about him.
Onward and down to see the Lord Jesus. Onward and down to see the Lord Jesus.
How are sinners declared righteous before a holy God? Where can we find the presence of God today? How can I discover God's will for my daily life? You'll find answers to these questions in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, The Spirituality of the Cross. Check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Spirituality of the Cross by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Spirituality of the Cross by Dr. Jean Edward Veith.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison, cph.org. Welcome back. We're talking about the presence of God, not necessarily good news. If you're wrong with God, definitely not good news. I invite your questions and your comments. Our email address right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. And our call-in number on this Wednesday afternoon, March the 17th, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Feel free to Twitter us, too, with a question or a comment, @IssuesETC. When the children of Israel first encountered God there at Mount Sinai, Dr. Veith, it was not good news. They were terrified, and yet God was present. I mean, he was right there in their face. How is it that Christ coming to us via these means that you described so well before the break is for us rather than against us?
Well, yeah, I mean, the presence of the Holy God would be like, you know, walking into a nuclear reactor and just be blasted away, which happened to people in the time of the Old Testament. God's presence was terrifying and dangerous, and that's because sinful human beings cannot come into the presence of the Holy God. And what happened is that God became incarnate in a human being, in Christ, and gave him to us as our mediator. And so, because he is sinless, he can come into the presence of a holy God. And when we're in Christ, by faith, through the Word and the sacraments, and when we're in Christ, God... yes, he still sees us, and he still loves, but he sees us through the lens of Jesus. And so because we have a mediator, we can be in the presence of God. We're in the presence of Christ, who ushers us into the Father after he's covered our sins with his blood. And so we can enter, and we will enter the presence of the Holy God, because Christ is the one who is the Holy One and who is our sacrifice. So we have the same access that Christ does because of what he's won for us on the cross, the same access to God's presence. But you need to realize that. And I know when I was reading the Bible really for the first time, it was so scary as I was working my way through the Old Testament. And I needed to see that, because I had sort of made up my own theology. You know, I had an idea of God, and yes, he was very nice and he's a good person, but I was sort of making up God in my own image, making him non-threatening and making him benevolent. But the problem was, I mean, the real God has hard edges. The creation living in this world has hard edges. And it's not just all benevolence, and it's a world of consequences and death and pain. But I was making something completely unrealistic. But in the Bible, I saw that God is other than myself. He's not something inside or something that I just made up. He's other than himself, and to read his law, to see how I measured up, and to see my desperate state before a holy God, it was just devastating, and it just knocked me down. But I needed to be knocked down. I needed to have my idolatry sort of smashed, and I needed to stop trusting in how good I was. Because when you read the scripture, you can't have that conviction very long about how good you are. And that brought me to a state of dependence. And then when that word talked to me about the salvation that God had provided for me, despite all of this, and in the teeth of all of this, had told me about Christ, and that I had a mediator, I had a savior that was so sweet to hear that and to understand it and to put all of that together. Again, that's now later. I actually went through that reading the Bible before I even knew about Lutheranism. Now I know the words for it. It's the law and the gospel. But it's a reality when you take Scripture seriously. It does that to you. But of course, that's because it's a means of grace. It's the Holy Spirit doing that through those words.
Frank in Illinois emails us, and he says this: I recently came out of Pentecostalism 6 months ago, and I've been trying to reach out to former Pentecostals who seem to identify with the frontier revivalists in Jesus residing in their hearts. They proclaim this as their proof of salvation and a reason not to challenge their theology. I try to explain that the heart, as in Scripture, is described in other ways. David also stated, "Create in me a clean heart." How can I get through to them that we are beggars and it is Christ's work alone through faith alone? Dr. Veith.
Well, I mean, that's so right, but it's so sad. I mean, when I look at my heart, honestly, I find, and Scripture talks about this, you know, the heart is desperately wicked, and, you know, in my heart is no good thing. And to use my heart as a basis for, it doesn't give me any security. And the problem is that, if you take that, the idea that Jesus, now I think there is a kind of an indwelling of Christ through faith, but again, you don't look at yourself for assurance because you're not going to find it. Or if you do, it becomes a kind of a rationalization you never can depend on. But the idea of the heart, and that God speaks directly to me and through me, and what some Christians do, they fall in the syndrome of, well, the Lord told me this and that, by which they mean their feelings are telling them this or that. And that's very, that's really shifting sand, and the danger of it is that if God, the Holy Spirit, is really speaking through, then that must have the same status as the Bible. You know, if the Spirit is inspiring you directly, and so you too are going to need to be inerrant and infallible. And but that never really comes to pass. And when a lot of folks who believe that meet it, run up against a failure or suffering or a mood, a feeling of depression, maybe, where they don't—they're not feeling that anymore. Oh, God must have rejected me, or God must not love me, or maybe there isn't a God after all. It's all a lie. But again, when they can be reoriented to this God outside myself, to Christ outside myself, and He comes, the Holy Spirit. I mean, it seems to me that Lutheranism fulfills so much of what you have in other Christian traditions, and I mean,
we've got about 30 seconds here.
Okay, the Pentecostals seek a supernatural experience with Christ, the supernatural gifts of the Spirit, and again, I find that in Lutheranism, but those gifts are the sacraments. The supernatural experience I get is the Holy Spirit coming to me through the words of Scripture, the experience I get is from tasting the body and blood of Christ. And again, to me, that goes so far beyond anything else.
Dr. Gene Edward Veith is provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. He's author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for March, The Spirituality of the Cross, The Way of the First Evangelicals. Folks, you can read an excerpt of The Spirituality of the Cross at our website, issuesetc.org. You can also purchase The Spirituality of the Cross by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. I highly recommend this book, The Spirituality of the Cross, The Way of the First Evangelicals. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. Dr. Veith, thank you so much. Look forward to our conversation again.
Oh, me too. Thanks, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Islam and violence. Mossab Hassan Youssef will be our guest. He's author of the new book, Son of Hamas. If you're looking for God, and so many think they are looking for God, first of all, you need to ask yourself, are you really looking for the real God or just one that you'd like to find? The kind of divine Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. Then, if you really want to find the true God, there is but one place to look. And Jesus makes it clear. He is the keyhole through which one must peer to see the true God. He says he is the way, the truth, the life. He is the door. Now, the God that you will find there, revealed in Holy Scripture in the presence of Christ, is going to shock you, may offend you, most certainly will offend you. It will not be a God that is to your liking. I can guarantee you that. It will be a God that is far more stern and just and far more loving and merciful than you ever imagined. You will find the Father revealed in the Son, Jesus Christ. You will find the Spirit, and you will find Christ where? Where he's promised to be, in his word, in his baptism, in his supper. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.